What's good, y'all? This your boy Neef back again with another chapter of the Scythe. Here again with your boy Joey Crack. What's good, Joe? Tell the world what's up.
Yeah, he actually let me know I was being recorded this time.
They don't know about the first time because that one was deleted.
Yeah.
So you just, you know what I'm saying? Just saying a bunch of bullshit. Saying a bunch of bullshit. The bullshit. The bullshit. I'm going to start saying bullshit like that. The bullshit.
This was a good idea.
What's that?
So you don't have to go to the studio every time.
That's right. You know, especially with Perk going to South by Southwest. And I'm supposed to be meeting up with my boy Spoonie Saturday. To have a conversation on the podcast and shit about St. Patrick's Day. And that kind of fucks everything up.
How much Perk charge, do you know?
$35.
For an hour?
For an hour.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I mean, I have yet to pay him. But when I do, he'll get it for every session we've done.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Most of the sessions have been practiced, but the real ones include, like, yours, the one before it, and the ones following. But definitely
$35. Okay, that's not bad at all.
That's not bad at all, right?
No, I thought it was gonna be more, to be quite honest.
They,
I thought it was gonna be like 70, 80.
Like, yeah, up there, but that's not their primary business there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
So they got extra funds coming in with the stew. And that's always a good thing.
Go edit that part out.
Huh?
Since you're gonna edit that part out.
Nah.
Oh.
That's all right. I kind of want to start over now because, you know, if there was something that edited part out, it made it sound like it was just something terrible.
I mean, nah.
You want to edit that part out? It's terrible. No, because it's not terrible. Because it's not terrible. That's just how I feel about that one. But it's like 1,000 degrees.
I'm sorry. I just know I get cold real fast. And
you
then,
anemic?
And
you
then,
anemic?
And then I don't get comfortable.
You man. Anemic?
Nah, I just gotta be comfortable when I smoke.
You anemic? You anemic?
Just get out.
I live here, so that's not a problem. That's not a problem. but this is definitely gonna be the move because I think that it's always good to have this kind of device. You mean? Yeah, I don't even have to have it on. Nobody will even know that it's working.
I've been meaning to get Bethany more involved in the
McBethany?
Yeah, McBethany are more involved in the conversation.
She tries to, but
when she is in here. Not really.
Most
of the time she doesn't really like pay attention at all, cuz like we'll like leave, like for example yesterday, like we'll leave and then like we'll have like a little conversation and you know, she doesn't pay attention at all. You know, there is sometimes that she might be listening, but even then, for the most part, even in those times where she's listening, it's just like she might have heard a certain part of our conversation,
you know,
or our debate, and then she chimes in for that quick moment, and then for the most part, she's just out not listening.
Well,
anymore.
I feel like that's because she tries to get her 2 cents in, but she has to fight to get her voice heard. Because that's just how it is with us. You have an opinion, you want an idea, you want to say, you got to fight to have it heard. And that really shouldn't be how you have conversations, but that's how we have conversations for some reason. But, you know, a lot of people don't like fighting for that. They like, yo, if you don't want to listen, I'm not going to talk. That's not a problem. And I can understand that.
Agreed. But I guess that's the downfall to the such an organic conversation, is that it's just an equal conversation. There's no one that you feel is couldn't. Controlling or mediating the conversation.
It's so open, in fact, that you feel like if you can't get your word in, it's not, you're not a part of it. When really all you have to do is say something and you're a part of it.
But yeah, I've been meaning that. And I'm telling her that I've been trying to get her a little bit more.
You know, just tell her that what you gotta tell her is, you know, or not even tell her anything. You don't even have to have a conversation about it with her. All you need to do is just ask her opinion.
No, I do. I do.
Not when you leave. While you're having the conversation with whoever.
Well, right. But that's why I also mentioned to you that, yo, when we have a conversation and Stephanie's in the car, because sometimes I just get into our conversation and then it just slips my mind to be like, you know, oh, Stephanie, you know, what do you think? You know what I mean? She's just quiet in her zone and then we just doing our thing.
It can't,
you know,
come from me, because sometimes she does talk, you know what I'm saying, while you're talking, good looks. And I'd be like, wait, what'd you say, Steph? Yeah, I mean, you'd be like, no, oh, yeah, all right. But you know what I'm saying? That, yeah, all right. is kind of like off-putting, because it's like, oh yeah, let's hear what you have to say real quick while I was talking. You dig what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of, I don't even know how to describe it adequately. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, not even fear of talking, just like resentment to speak. No, I'm good. It's like almost like a resentment to speak, because you know people don't approve of you speaking. You know what I'm saying? I think you've instilled a little bit too much of that men are men and women were women thing into her head. Speak when spoken to, woman.
Nah, not even.
It feels like that. She's outspoken, don't get me wrong. But it does feel like that sometimes. Like, speak when spoken to, woman, and she keeps it that way. And nah, then there are times where she feels something and she's like, nah, I'm going to say something about this.
That, yes. And that's,
like when
that's,
she thought I asked on the floor. She's like, you asked on the floor?
Yeah, that's when she feels passionately about something. But for the most part, yes, I do think that she has very good reserve when we're out in public, for the most part, because that has always been my thing. And it's not about women being women or men being men. It's even me, you know. I'm not going to cause a scene, be rude or obnoxious, you know what I mean. I'm not going to act a certain way out in public. To me, you know what I mean, I'm not going to raise my voice at you in public. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to curse at you. I'm not going to be like, well, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Or do shit like that. Or no, Stephanie, don't do this. You know, I'm not, to me, that's unnecessary. That's not what a gentleman does. And that's not what a lady does to me. So yes, she has been very good at being able to keep her reserve when we're around certain people. And maybe she wants to say something or feels a type of way about a certain thing. But when we're behind closed doors, that's something completely
right, which is
different.
Often the case.
So
but
it's like the Stephanie that you know is the Stephanie that she wants to present to you.
Sure, but it's also the Stephanie that you find acceptable
in front of people. Absolutely.
Therefore, I think.
But I still act a certain way in front of her friends. I'm a completely different Joe.
So I think that even no matter who it is, I think you should always have your opinions be heard. If you have an opinion on something, regardless if you're passionate about it or not, you should speak on it, because you may sway the conversation one way or another just with your simple opinion. Don't ever count yourself out simply because, you know, you feel like you can't get a word in edgewise, or you have
feel
no
like
specialties.
She doesn't do that.
Huh?
You're saying that you feel she doesn't do that.
What's that?
Is when she has an opinion about something, state her opinion.
Mm-hmm. I think okay, I think okay, she, a lot okay, of the time. No. I think a lot of time she stays quiet.
No, I think a lot of and that's my point. Nah. If she's listening and actually paying attention, and she has an opinion, like when she is listening for a small tidbit, she'll have something to say. She'll come into the conversation.
All right. So,
but for the most part, in these things, she knows that I just like to come over. I like to smoke a couple blunts with you. You know what I mean? And chop.
Here's how
it up
I want you to
things.
Understand the situation, how I see it. If it's me, you, Perk, and Steph in the car, right? Mm-hmm. Me and Perk in the front, see you and Steph in the back. Me and Perk talking about an issue, but you like, oh, I'm in the back. I'm not technically included because they talking to each other. But we having an open conversation for the entire car, yet we are verbalizing with each other. You still have an entrance to put your opinion in, but you would likely, not saying likely, but you would probably sit there in your phone and say, huh, I wasn't listening. Why? Because you felt like you weren't a part of the conversation. But you were. You know what I'm saying? Even though I wasn't talking to you directly, you were still a part of the conversation. You are here present in the car during the conversation. Therefore, if you have an opinion.
So you're saying that's something that you would do?
I'm saying that's something that you do and that I do.
I mean, I think that's just people in general. I mean, I think that we can be having a conversation
sitting right here with
each other.
But
and
that's my point. And about Stephanie.
And I
that's my point about
my
Stephanie, though.
Like,
you see what I'm saying? And that's also one thing that you do. You keep talking about your point, even though, you know, people may understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying when you reiterate your point. I get it. But what I'm trying to tell you is my point as to making that reference was about Stephanie. You see? I tried to make the comparison of how you go into your phone when you're not, when you feel like you're not a part of the conversation because nobody's talking to you directly. You go out, you go in your phone and out of the conversation. It may be the same for her, not just that she's reserved.
Okay, and I was, you see? And I was, I do see, okay. And I was challenging that.
because I'm saying that's not, and that's I, and not I, something that
you
I would
know better than I. But I'm just talking about from my perspective how I see it when it's all four of us in the car, me, you, Perk, and Stephanie, mm-hmm. and how I see it when it's me, you, and Stephanie in the car. It's very similar things. Going to the phone, it's either or. You might be talking to Perk, and you know what I mean? I might not feel like I'm a part of the conversation. I might go on the phone or, you know, spark up a little conversation with Steph in the back, or I won't do nothing and just stay out of it. But it's the same for everybody. If you feel like you're not a part of the conversation, you're gonna phase out and not listen. And then you'll be like, huh? What happened? What'd you say? I missed it. Say it again. You dig what I'm saying? Like, even for instance, y'all, last night, y'all were having a conversation between each other about something. I was like, hey, never mind. What you say, bro? You said something about police state. You know what I'm saying? You tuned it out because you started focusing on something else. You see? What happened? What my outcast lighter, bro? Did you
I don't know, bro.
Why'd I spark this? Do you want this?
Yeah.
What you doing?
Damn, I'm dropping shit.
I think the best way to encourage, don't take this, and I understand you know how to work with your girlfriend better than I do, but I on a general basis of people, I think the best way to include people is to not say, yo, you can join in if you want, but to do it indirectly by proposing a question, not just to the person you're talking to. But then say, you know what, even though this is an open discussion and you should be feeling like you should be able to talk, how about I'm going to propose this question directly to you now so you feel like you are a part of it? Because you are here. You're not just sitting here. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I already know that. But at the same time, why I was mentioning to you is because it's a subconscious thing. It's because it's so natural. It's become such a habit, such a routine
to just
come and talk. So that's why I said, because you are another person in the car. Mm-hmm. So that, hey, you didn't. I noticed that we've been having this conversation about this particular topic, and Stephanie's been sitting there. And I remember that you said, yo, we want to get Stephanie more involved in the conversation. And you didn't say anything to Stephanie.
But this,
Stephanie, what do you think about the idea, or what do you think that Steph, you know, you asked me, what do you think Steph would think about that, or
that I would look at her? Well, what do you think about
that?
Yeah,
but that's, you know what I'm saying? for me, that's a two-fold way to do it, because then you get I don't want to say suggestive thoughts, but more of forced thoughts. It's not organic. You know what I'm saying? The thoughts would be like, oh, shit, now I got to think about something. What do I have to say about this? Let me think. Oh, shit, they're asking me. They're putting me on the spot. You know what I'm saying? You dig what I'm saying? What does Steph have to do? What? You know what I'm saying? It's kind of the way it's keeping them on their toes without directly keeping them on their toes. People.
We have conversations. I mean, we know that we're about to like have a conversation about something, but at the same time, we don't just hit up each other like, yo, I want to talk about this, bro. Let's link up and talk about this.
We just smoke some blunts and talk about shit. But at the same time, there has to be the way we have conversation is energy as expensive. Simply because of how we have conversations. The competition of voice over voice, thought over thought, completing one thought over starting another. You know what I'm saying? We both do that. All of us do that. Out of all our friends, we all do that. But that's not how we should have conversations. But conversations should go listen and respond. If you understand the premise of what I'm saying to you, then you can respond, right? And I would stop talking because obviously you understand. But if what you say means you don't understand, I'm going to reiterate. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm going to explain why what you said is not correct as to what I'm trying to explain to you. Not continue my idea because you understand, but I just want to finish my thought. You dig what I'm saying? The way we have conversations is too combative. More like two people meeting on a battlefield, duking it out with ideas, versus two people sitting down over a chess game, and making some moves and talking about shit. I think that we have to change how we have conversations, how we talk, and how we talk around people, how we talk to each other, and how we talk around people.
Well, I think we subconsciously know that. I think that's why even in our own conversations, we when we go to interrupt, we be like, oh, my bad. You know,
that's true. You know, or we just stop talking.
Yeah, or we just stop talking. You're like, well, yo, my bad, because I wanted you to finish, you know, because I realize that I keep interrupting you, and you just, you know.
Right, so. but like I said, sometimes there are points where we understand where we're getting at. So there's sometimes that interruption is okay. But then there are times where you don't really understand, but you might. So we're going to say, all right, do you understand? Well, then, no, you don't understand, so I'm going to continue with what I was saying. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think that's something we got to work on. Otherwise, nobody will really be able to enjoy the conversations we have the way we do. Because though we're in the conversation, we're not listening. We're in it. Mm-hmm. We're not outside of it. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To be a part of something is different than to be outside looking in. It's like being with a crazy family. You looking on the outside like, damn, that family crazy as hell. But you on that, you live with that family and you love the motherfuckers and you think that's normal. But I'm definitely with that, but I'm not gonna say nothing to you about getting her involved in the conversations. That's not why she's here. I feel like that's too forward. That's not really my style. I'm more of a discreet. Like a subconscious person, cerebral. I want to make you give me your answers. As in, like, when I propose a question, being suggestive, like, for example, saying what you feel about it is all... Damn. Saying what... That almost went in that water. That would have been tragic. Saying what you feel about it is sometimes... often not the right thing to do when you're discussing a topic that you just want to discuss ideas on, see how people feel about it. Saying how you feel, never a good idea. You know what I mean? So I never do that. I always just ask the question, try to lead them to their answer, not like lead them to the answer inside them. You know what I mean? In a similar fashion of how I do it for myself, I ask myself the same questions, and I sit there and I think about them, and I say, "Well, what does that mean?" Like, without a biased opinion, without the media telling me how I should feel about the Taliban, without Donald Trump telling me how I should feel about the news, without teachers telling me how I should feel about education, how do I feel about it? And without all that noise, you come to your own conclusion and you find out that the shit you believe religiously, spiritually, is similar to all religions. It's just your fundamental beliefs. It just happens to fall in line with a lot of shit that other people believe. And you're like, oh, shit. Oh, you believe a lot of shit that people Muslim believe. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I also believe in reincarnation. I'll come back to life at some point because energy is neither created or destroyed. Oh, so you're a Hindu. Buddhist? No. Oh, so what are you? I'm nothing. I just found out within myself that this is what I believe. You know what I'm saying?
You think all people are like that?
I think that people have that ability.
I think that all people go through that phase, but I don't think so. I think some people stop.
Mm-hmm.
It was like our conversation the other day about when I was saying, what Joe are you asking?
And I got that. I got that statement.
Yeah, because it was me saying that, you know, I'm in a different. It was a different phase.
Right, but if the Joe I was speaking to didn't believe in hell, then nobody would go to hell. But if the Joe that believed in hell, you know who would go to hell? Bad people. You know what I'm saying? That's where I was trying to go with that topic. I was trying to explain to you how bad people. We all thought bad people. Go to hell, but there are no bad people. You know what I'm saying? I was trying to explain that premise to you by expressing the original, how we all, you know, you get it. But I understand a lot of what you say. It's just the points I'll be trying to make contradict with what you say sometimes. You see what I'm saying? You make a point about something, but that's not the point I'm trying to make.
Absolutely. It's like,
you made this point, I get that point, but I'm trying to make this point. Are you following me on this point? But nah, you got to understand this point before we can get to this point. No, we just can do this point. Because there is a similarity in all of our past that we all at one point either still believe or believed at one point that there was heaven and hell. That's a similarity amongst us all. Amongst us all. There's not, I don't think, one person on this planet who at one point didn't believe in heaven or hell.
Yeah, but in reference to that conversation, it was about bad people going to hell.
Right.
And your thing was about if like what's there is no good people or bad people, and I agreed with that, but at the same time I disagree with that. Mm. Because of the conscientious decisions that you make.
Well, the conversation we had, just for as a refresher, the conversation we had was about good or bad people. I truly don't believe there are bad people or good people. I think there are just people who make decisions that can be seen as good or can be seen as bad. And then sometimes we tend to see these people who make bad or good decisions as good or bad people based off of those decisions. But that's not the case. These people are just people who make decisions. See, you again, now, I don't...
Go ahead. See, I think that we're saying the same thing just with a different mind state, I guess.
The thing is, you're saying that because of their decision... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Because you're saying that, you know, there is no good or bad people, you just have good or bad decisions. And I'm pretty much saying the same thing, but I'm pretty much saying that it's the acknowledgement of knowing that you made a bad decision or a bad choice and that you continue to make them, or that you knowingly or willingly make bad choices. You're not a cop in a risky situation where you're just like, I might get shot, he might have a gun, it kind of looks like it might just be a cell phone, do I shoot him, do I not? You know, you're not in one of those situations. I'm going out of my way to lie to this person, I'm going out of my way to cheat, I'm going out of my way to steal. You know what I mean? Those are conscious bad decisions, and I think that was the point that I was trying to drive home, is that yes, your decisions can be good or bad, but when you consciously make bad decisions continuously, then how aren't you a bad person?
And then like I said, I got that point about, you know, repetition and repeatedly doing the wrong thing. But then I raised the point that 50 years ago, I remember, 50 years ago, gay people were bad people. But that was to make the testament of how society sees right and wrong differently through time and through place. Sin is geographical, meaning that what's right for you may be wrong for another person. And what's wrong for them may be right for you. Or vice versa. You know what I'm saying? The point is that you can't say someone is good or bad simply because what's right for them isn't right for you. Even if in a society that agrees, they say, we all agreed that killing these people is the worst thing you can do. But you killed at multiple people. Repetitiously, you killed many people. You have to suffer consequences. But this was not wrong to him. He is not a bad person. He has done bad, terrible, horrible things. But this is not a bad person. This is a person who has done terrible things. We lose humanity when we start to see good and bad people. We need to see good and bad action. That's different.
And I disagree, because I think that all people in the entire world have a core. There's a difference between societies, and one society saying that gay people are are normal, good people, and then in one society saying that gay people are abnormal, bad people. Those are like I was saying before, prejudices or dislikes. I think that we have a genuine core of what's good and bad.
So some people are just naturally born good and naturally born bad.
No, but you consciously make bad choices and bad decisions. For example,
what is this core then?
I'm going to give an example.
All right, go ahead.
We brought up in the conversation for about eating dogs. Mm-hmm. In American society, most people will terrible. Be like, "That's crazy. That's terrible. That's terrible. They would dislike that. You know, that's not something true. Good to do." As it were, in another Asian country across the world, says that no, that's fine. We
North Korea, dogs. I eat dogs. Yep. We cook them alive.
Right. However, regardless of the prejudice of the animal, because a cow, a chicken. A goat.
Cow is sacred to India.
Exactly,
Middle East.
But I love steak, and I'll eat a lamb, and I'll eat real a, and quick. I'll and I'll eat, and I'll eat a lamb chop.
Real quick.
But at the end of the day, those are a very particular society's dislike or prejudice towards something or religious reason for disliking something.
So you're saying if I could try to get to your point, are you saying that we all have agreements that there are some things that we all agree are just right and we all agree are just wrong?
And in essence, yes, but let me finish my example.
All right.
Yes, but let me finish. Because regardless of that, we don't eat dogs here, but they eat dogs there. The fact is that when it comes to killing an animal, was it humanely? And that's why I said that regardless if I don't eat dogs and you do, we both know that putting the dog on the ground and stomping on its head was inhumane and wrong. You didn't, you know, we know that just like we know that killing a cow and just slicing its throat while it's alive and letting them bleed out is inhumane and wrong. We know that regardless if I eat a cow and you worship it, we both know that killing that animal in that way is inhumane. It's wrong. That's bad. We know that. That's not something that has to be explained to anybody. That's in our core, regardless if you worship a cow or eat one. Mm. And to me, it's like that with everything, with human
so
life.
So as long as it's within legal parameters, it's okay.
What do you mean legal parameters? I mean,
because, when we say humane, who dictates what's humane?
We do, humans.
So as long as it's within human law, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that.
I mean, sure, but at the same time, society's laws are different. So it's not a law that's on paper, even though it's on paper. That's just a subconscious law. No one in this world has to be explained to that killing innocent people is wrong. We know that. Now, if we consciously decide to do that, for whatever reason that is, we do that. But we know, all of us in this world know that's wrong though. We all know that stomping on that dog's head is wrong. We all know that slicing that cow's throat open is wrong. We all know that. That doesn't have to be explained to a child, man or woman.
You know,
that's in our core. That's fundamental.
I feel like there is going back to the dog and the humane and the cow and the chicken and the goat and the lamb. I feel like going back to those things, we don't care how our food is killed. As long as we eat it. So as far as we know, cows and chickens can be getting their head slammed. We don't kill our food when we eat it. And as a matter of fact, the animals we do eat, our livestock lives in terrible condition. And most of them die from infection before they can even be killed for our consumption. And then going on to even, you know, what was the other thing you said after the food?
That was really about it. stop.
I just think, oh yeah, we're killing people and shit like that. Right. For example, Obama had thousands of drone strikes all over the Middle East that killed thousands of innocent civilians. But we paid no mind to that. We all know it's wrong, but we paid no mind to it. We paid zero mind to it. Do you know why? Because we couldn't see it. It's just like how our food is made. Oh, they're bringing peace to the Middle East, though. But they're killing mad people in the process. But peace to the Middle East. Our food's on the table. Do you care how it's made?
I disagree. Because I think people do care. I think people do care about those drone strikes. Because if they didn't, then you wouldn't have mentioned them. No one. It would have been news.
I feel like most people only care about the things they can see.
No one would talk about it. It's not something that we see, but it's still something to say. Like Obama still has done this. It's still an acknowledgement.
Sure, but like I said, man, people only care about the things they can see. They can't see it if it doesn't in that way directly affect them, which visual things tend to directly affect people. They can't see it. They don't care. That's the facts of it. You can hear it. You can hear about it. If you don't see it, if you ain't present, if you ain't dead, you don't give a fuck.
I still disagree, because as a consumer and someone who does my own grocery shopping, it's something that you do care about when you're picking out your meats. It's something that you're looking for how it was distributed, how it was distributed, how it was raised. You know what I mean? You're looking for signs in the meat for bad marbling or fucking.
The marbling maybe. Looking at your meat in depth like that, in that sense, I can understand. But you're looking to believe that you actually take the time to really see and understand how your meat was killed and where it came from. I say that's likely to for me to believe, not just from you, but just a lot of people who claim to do so.
You've been with me grocery shopping.
I've seen you grocery shop, but I've never seen you go in depth as to where this meat came from, who the production is from, where the farm is, how they kill the animals, if they're doing it humanely, if they have their livestock locked away in dark places for too long, if they let them out to feed on the grass. I've never seen you do that in-depth research. I've seen you analyze the food you grab. I've seen that. But I've never seen you do that, and that's what I don't think people do. I don't think people do that. I think people analyze their food, but I don't think they go into detail as to where it came from, how it was picked, if it's not meat, if it's vegetables, how it was grown, was it sprayed with the Monsanto or not?
I think people do, because it's not like, oh, I'm about to go to the store, I'm about to find out what places they have, I'm gonna go back home and research it. Do I think it's like that? No, because that's not how I do it. But when I'm out looking at my meat, am I looking at the meat directly? Yes. Am I looking at that at some of the public information that's supposed to be on there, like how it was raised and where it was and where it's from and fucking and what it was fed? Yeah. And then after a while, maybe it fucking spikes my interest, like it does most of the time, to just go on the internet and look to what this place is. Where am I buying my meat from? What is this going to? It's why people have fucking organic food and fucking, you know what I mean? And then you just have your regular chicken, you know what I mean? But some people go out of their way to be like, okay, no, this is organic, so that at least lets me know that this chicken was raised a certain way, it was fed a certain way, you know, because by law that means that organic means this. So then I can even take the step further to go out of my way to say, like, okay, it's organic, but these people still do this there.
You know, I don't see a vast majority of people saying that. You know why? Because I see about 85% of people not caring where it comes from. Not caring how it's killed, what it's fed, where it was, you know, how it got there, the conditions of the travel to and from. I don't think people care. 85% people, maybe 15. I get, and that's the benefit of the doubt. I really don't think people care.
Maybe you're absolutely right, because that's why in America so much cloned food is allowed. That's why so much antibiotics and all the
genetic modification. They make chicken with the biggest breasts and thighs. Like, how chickens was never this big like 20 years ago.
Have no problem eating chicken that actually never even started in a chicken or in an egg in the first place. It just was in a petri dish, and then it started as a dish. It started from a dish, and then the next thing you knew, it was a whole grown chicken, and it was the biggest in the farmhouse.
Mm-hmm. And now it's on your dinner plate.
And that's disgusting.
It's terrible. But that's some true shit.
I agree, because I guess it would be that 60-40 again. 60% of the people, which is still regardless the majority, really don't give a shit.
Again, I say it's more like 85% of the people. I wouldn't even say 60-40 on that.
I would say 85%.
And that's being generous.
You still have people like me, and it's not like that I go extremely out of my way, but I still am conscious every time of what I'm buying and who I'm buying from.
Sure, but you just bought a burger from McDonald's.
Very true.
And have you ever seen those videos of, this is the McDonald's burger and fries that's been in the office for a bleep-a-doop-a-dip amount of time, 20 years, and it still looks like a regular burger and fry?
Yes, I have.
Holy shit.
That's why I was saying.
That's why I was saying
you're right, because
85% of people don't give a fuck.
Because that was the point that I was making, is that I'm still conscious of when I go out and buy. See, that's fresh.
And that's being generous.
That's fresh food. You know what I mean? That's still trying to be conscious of, but I'm not going out of my way to do in-depth research. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you still have people who are still conscious of such things, because then you wouldn't have these videos coming out, you wouldn't have these people talking about it, you wouldn't have these news stories.
You wouldn't have
an organic and a vegan section in fucking, you know what I mean, in ShopRite, in Stop and Shop and other places.
That's like true, but you wouldn't have these things. When things are corporate run, it becomes mechanical.
All about profit.
That's right. It becomes
about the bottom line.
That's right. You don't oil your gears. You don't take care of your machine. You just keep it producing at maximum capacity. And then once it breaks down, you gotta, oh shit, we gotta fix it now. And then you got to recall all your animals and meat products, because there's horse meat in the Burger King burgers and shit. And you got to recall the burger meat because there's some type of disease, because the cows was eating their own shit because you had them in terrible conditions. You got to recall the chickens, Purdue, because fucking... you got swine flu going around, the chicken disease, some type of, you know what I mean, some bullshit. I just think that corporations shouldn't run agriculture. That should be a strictly farmer-owned small business thing.
Oof. How do you produce in the way that Americans want you to produce?
Well, I also think, I saw this video, right? It was a J. Cole video. It said, but the words on it, it just said, it said, the disease of more. The problem of America is that we're the land of excess. We always gotta have more. Even if we don't even need it, we just gotta have more. That was a point you made also about, you know, getting rid of, a strong federal government and strong rulers, and just being a population of a like being a true democratic republic where the power vastly lies in the people. And you was like, well, what if I want more? What if I want all of this? Because I want it. I want more. That's a disease. That's a disease we have. It's a problem. We always want more than we actually need.
But to me, that's everybody. See, because...
which is why I said we.
Absolutely. But it's not so I want more. It's something as simple as your level of comfortable and what you deem acceptable as a living standard, as comfortable, can be just simply different to mine. And it might not be majorly different, but it's different. And those have cost differences.
We're not restrict the way you live. We say restrict how much you consume in that way.
See, but that goes into restricting on how much I live, because you might be comfortable with this home right here. A 4-bedroom home, you know what I mean, 2.5 bathrooms, it's got a decent backyard, a little front yard, you know what I mean? We got a 1-car garage that's decent to you.
Sure.
But to me, living comfortable is a 6-bedroom house, three bathrooms. Sure. I live on a ranch. You know what I mean? That's what I want. That's to me
comfortable. Sure, but what I'm talking about is that's fine, right?
And somebody might say that's living in excess.
But listen to this. What I'm talking about are you let's say you have a village, right? You got a village. You run a village. And everybody in your village, based on from single to families up to like 4 or 5 people, they go down to the river and they grab their buckets. You got and they got gallons worth from 3 to all the way to 10 gallons, right? But you're just one person who grabs a 10 to 12 gallon bucket and says, "I need this because this meets my needs." That's not, how's that acceptable? It doesn't equate to a family of 5 who's grabbing 10 gallons of water to feed a family of 5 to meet their needs versus you grabbing 10 or 12 gallons of water to meet your single needs. That doesn't equate into your needs being met. That equates to excess.
But what if I use all that water?
It does not matter. If a family of 5 only needs 10 gallons, you don't need 10 gallons by yourself. That's excess.
But that's because that's their 4-bedroom house. That's their 4-bedroom house.
It's a family of 5, mm-hmm. and you're one person by mm-hmm. yourself.
I live on a ranch.
They need 10 gallons of water. You need 10 gallons of water. That's excess. You don't need 10 gallons of water if you by yourself, even if by yourself you needed more gallons of water than you regularly needed because you lived on a ranch, the most you would probably get, and I'm being generous here, is 6 or 7 gallons of water. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't get 10 gallons. That's a family of 5.
So you believe in what I've been getting from you in most conversations is that when you see your version of the world, or the United States at least, there would be no government, I guess.
It would be a weak federal government, but a strong state government, as in people-wise. People would be able, and not even state, because I'd get rid of borders too.
Okay.
But go ahead, continue.
People that don't, that there's no laws. People that govern themselves. And I forgot the point that I was making.
You don't think this world is possible? Because we were just talking about. I forgot now.
See.
Damn, what was we just talking about?
Run back.
Stay low. I can't rewind it back. Don't do that. Stay laws and what? What was we talking about, bro?
See, that's that weed.
Mm-hmm. That's that weed. Right there. We'll remember that some point. I don't know, man, but. Man, did we really just forget what we was just talking about?
Yeah, completely.
Like, completely is gone?
Yeah, yeah.
That shit is in the wind.
That's crazy.
Well, you was trying to break down how my vision of the world was going to be. And I forgot why you was doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, because that was the point.
Yeah.
What the fuck were you just talking about, yo?
Almost, you know.
I forgot we can't possibly go back.
We can't. It don't rewind. You gotta play it all the way from the beginning. All right, we gonna take a small break. We, yeah. And we back again, you know what I'm saying? We tried to figure some shit out. We couldn't figure it out. It was crazy. Mission. Yeesh. Yeesh. That shit was popping. But, yeah, we was just trying to figure out what the fuck we was talking about, man. That shit's crazy. I don't know why you was breaking down my vision of the world. Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
I think I'm remembering some of it.
Okay.
We were talking about living in excess. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. All right. We back. Yes. Back in the shit.
And I said that what you define as excess and what I define as excess would be different. You say that you see a world that where people govern themselves and there is no law. Society just kind of has, you know, a rule. It's just kind of like the people say, the majority, you know. And I don't see it working that way. To me, what you see the world working as, it may work on paper or in a video game where you get to control everything. But in a world where people don't want the government to control everything, people don't want anybody in particular to control anything, really.
They don't want it to seem like it's being controlled.
Exactly. And just with accepting that you have to give the people that illusion creates checks and balances.
I don't have to give the people the illusion. You see, to me, you see like this
free world where people are happy, but to me, the world that you describe is the government is controlling how much I can consume, how much I can make.
But that has to be by the choice of the people.
See, but that doesn't work because by the choice of so I'm in New Jersey and then I want to leave to Colorado, but the people don't want me to leave to Colorado, so now my family can't move.
I don't understand what that means.
Meaning I own this hospital.
Okay.
Right here.
Okay.
Okay. This is a privately owned hospital. Okay. It gets best funding in Rawley. It does some great things for the Rawley people. I'm deciding that I'm personally moving to Colorado. My business is coming with me, which means that this private hospital is being shut down. The people of Rawley are like, no, you do that. Do you know how the amount of people that are going to be unemployed, that are going to be out of work? You see what I'm saying? You see how many people that are sick that need this care? We in Rawley do not want you to leave. Sure. Now society does not want me to leave. I can't move to Colorado anymore.
But that's like saying that you would be their only option. Nah, I'm saying this is also like we're not going back to the olden days, you know, back to like villages and shit. We're still gonna be living in modern times in advanced society where you're gonna have a weak government. When I say a weak government, I mean it's a small federal government, not as big and controlling as ours is now.
That sounds like what a Republican wants.
In a sense,
they want weaker federal government and more control to the states.
But states, because again, like I said, I want to get rid of borders.
I mean,
because I don't think that as a country we should have states because it creates divisions. It creates Alabamians and New Jerseyans and New Yorkers.
Agreed, because the point that I was about to make is that when you give all that power to the states, though, which is like what most Republicans and conservatives want, because they feel as though which I partly agree on, is that then the people more locally are able to have more control and function over their government.
Right.
But then what happens is that
then Texas wants to be their own fucking country, and everybody in Texas as a majority feels right. like they want to be their own country, and then next thing you know, so I get,
but that's where the more control comes in.
I get where your mentality of then still getting rid of those borders then. But at the same time, people are people.
But you got to understand. I'm not gonna, if I ever was to run a country, I wouldn't hop in office and just eliminate borders. I would you know, slowly but surely weaken the federal government and return power to the state government. But you would also have to, at the same time, fund education so that your people can be smarter and know how to deal with a stronger state government. You have to be able to have smarter people in order to deal with politicians. You can be deceived easily as an ignorant person.
To me, at the end of the day, what you're describing is that you're a complete dictator. If it's not what in your idea of what's going to make society better,
mm-hmm.
then the people they can't use that as a direction.
I feel like I feel like, as Karl Marx said, and I'm not an expert on Karl Marx, but I do believe his theory was that capitalism was doomed to fail, and that through communism and to dictatorship, that with a great leader, you can have true democracy. And true democracy is a political system of the people, a democratic republic. And that is what, and that's what I want for the people.
I think that thinking is flawed, because what you're saying is that if you have a great leader and someone who genuinely cares about nothing about them, so they are completely selfless, they care about nothing but the good of the people.
Exactly.
Then a dictatorship would work.
It would.
No.
A kingship would work. Because a queenship would work.
Because
a monarchy, parliament, capitalism.
Your idea of what is better for the people is not what my idea is of what is better for the people. So that right there alone, and you are a person who feels like you would, if you were being put in a position, you would genuinely try your best to care about the people and think nothing about the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that most people feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But your idea of what best for the people is completely different than what my idea is. Sure. But we both genuinely care about the people.
Sure. I understand.
And that's everybody in America. So, and that's everybody in the world. So, and those are opinions. So to have one person control what they think is best in every single way, because it's best for everybody and nobody else has a say or a control over that.
But you know, I honestly think that sometimes it's just like that. In order to truly, because to quote Karl Marx again, he actually liked capitalism. He was like, it was one of the greatest innovations of mankind. It brought us so many innovations through competition for wealth. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it was self-destructive. It was doomed to fail.
Why?
Like I said, I'm not an expert on Marx and what his theories was, but I know some of these were his ideas. I'll get back to you on it. I'll talk about it. Don't count me out. I'll get you on it.
But you know me, I'm very open to it. You know?
Sure.
I'm not nothing is.
But
nothing
I can't get. I'm not gonna sit here and start mouthing off some bullshit. I just know that those were some of his premises or ideas. But at the same time, right? It was destructive, right? I think that over time, over human history, that we have had very similar styles of governing and leadership that have countlessly over time been successful and failed. And then something new came, and then success and failed horribly. But they all had a similar structure of hierarchy, a wealthy top and a poor bottom. That's it. And I think we need to change that very same graph that we've been, that base formula that we've been using for centuries, and use a completely different formula to try and make a different world. Because if the hierarchy constantly fails because the bottom always pulls out from underneath you, because the top always gets a little too heavy to carry. Mm-hmm. And it always causes some sort of event, a revolution, a war, some type of something happens where people die. And a lot of wealth gets changed around, power changes, but the structure stays the same. You have to change the structure in order for the game to change. And once you change the game, who knows what kind of world you can make. That's why I believe that. Mm. That's why I believe you should seize control, because maybe it's time for a new world. And the only way you could do that is by willful control. Like I said, you can't just take it like a true dictator, like a tyrant, the evil tyrant would. The people have to ask for it. It's kind of like foreign affairs. I feel like foreign affairs, people over there, if you want help, you should ask for it. Say, we need your help. Please come help us.
And I don't think people are naturally built that way. We have this Me Too moment. Think about it. People don't even come out and talk about people sexually assaulting or raping them. People don't come out about someone abusing them or hurting them or bullying them in school. People don't even come out about these things. These are obvious injustices that most people will help you out with. But you don't even come out about those, and then you talk about coming out for our rights. I mean, look at how hard of a push that we need to, and how much it's of a revolution tough. That we need to have just to get some small change. I mean, think about the Black community, for example. And we've made some amazing strides, but it's very small, in my opinion, to what we still have to do.
True, but I do think that the structure still needs to change, regardless of the challenges that it would face to change it. I think that it does definitely need to change, because the structure fails every time. No matter what government we put as its name.
I agree, but I feel like you're stemming that opinion only because regardless of the fact of socialism, communism, dictatorship, fucking capitalism, no matter what you use, fucking it's at the end of the day it's all about money.
It's all about power.
No, it's a influence. It's a value on something.
It's not necessarily about money for a king. I'm a king. It's not about money for me. I'm a fucking king. I have subjects. I'm a king. I'm a king.
But it is about money, because where do I get my throne? Where do I get all this money? Where do I get all these riches and these gems from the people? I get them from the taxes.
I think it's about power,
bro. They have to work and make that money that I have to take from them, and then what happens when they don't feel like they have enough money, when they don't have enough of something that we value to be able to sustain life and trade? I mean, at the end of the day, it's just we trade, we put value on things. Mm. And I feel like, yeah, you see a life where people don't value materialistic things anymore. And in essence, like I said, on paper, that sounds great, but that's not how people work. Without valuing something, We don't research anything. We don't find anything. We don't find new ways to blow up people without war. Some of our greatest technologies and some of our greatest advancements in sciences and some of our greatest movements in civilization, society-wise, with the push of women and independence, that all happened over war at some times when people were killing each other. Over whatever the situation was at that time, you know what I mean?
Which is why a lot of people, which is why Karl Marx said that capitalism was such a great ingenuity of innovation, because it brought money, brought progress. But we definitely gonna have to continue this conversation another day. This is the end of the chapter. Joey Crack in the building. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and boy Neef. We'll come back to the site tomorrow.